Now, I wanted to finish this series on the goodness of God as we have been studying from the book of James. I think without exposing anybody without their permission, the first part of this message, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, I went into my office and I saw a letter there, and it was from a member of this congregation. And this person said to me, "For a long, long time, I have been struggling with the goodness of God because of the experiences I've been through. But my eyes were opened this morning. My thinking was changed as I listened to the Word of God telling of God's goodness." And I want to tell you, those are the letters that I treasure. They are encouragement. It couldn't have come at a better time. And it was a great encouragement to me. And I thank that person already. And I thank them publicly. I'm sure they wouldn't want me to just be giving out names, but this is what it has been doing in my own life and in the lives of others. So will you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, James chapter 1, and we will resume the book of James, Lord's willing, in the fall. During the summer months, I will be preaching through the Psalms, as I have been doing for the last 2 years, and we'll continue to do that until we're finished with that great book of worship, the book of Psalms. James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruit among his creatures." We looked at the first part of this book of James, chapter 1, and we have seen that the true concern of the writer, in fact, the true concern of God giving the book to us, is that we might know how to live life in spite of the experiences and circumstances that we encounter. Make no mistake about it. In fact, as I looked through our library this past week, I came across this title: Life Isn't Fair, But God Is Good. And that is true. Life isn't fair. If you and I live day by day hoping that your turn will come because that's the way life is, my friends, it won't happen. Someone said to the late President Franklin, I think it was, "Good luck, sir." And he said, "My good man, good luck is the result of hard work." It just doesn't happen. And James is saying, if you look at someone who knows how to live in spite of the difficulties of life, someone who is triumphant, you're looking at someone who has discovered the secret to life, and that secret is that God is good. That's how we looked at the first part of the verse. We want to look now. You don't have notes, so I'll have to refresh your memory. We talked about the character of God's giving. It is good. We talk about the completeness of God's giving. It is perfect. It lacks nothing. And we were about to get in the second part of this verse from James 1:17, which goes like this: "Every good thing," or gift, as the King James has it, "or every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We concluded as we were looking at this text that the God of Christianity is a benevolent God. He is a good God. He is a gracious God. There are times we cannot understand what he's doing, but that does not change the fact that he is good, and we'll see that in a minute. We want to look this morning at the permanence of God's benevolence, the permanence of it. It is there all the time. Do you remember what I ended the last message with? When someone asked the piano teacher, "What's new?" And he wrote the note A on the board. And he said, "Whether someone sings offbeat, whether someone does not sing on key, someone doesn't have the right note, God is good." Just as the same way an A is an A is an A. You cannot change that. So it is with the goodness of God. It is permanent. And James tells us something because he wants us to understand that even though life isn't fair, we have our faith in a God who is just and who is good. And so he wants us to understand something, that God is the source of every good thing. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Comes down. It doesn't go up. I have good reasons for saying that. Because there are those who believe that they can influence God by what they do for God. And that someday God is going to look upon the balances of life and they will look at what you have done coupled with what he should have done, and this will balance things out and everything will be okay. Not so. James says, God is the source of all things. He is known as the Father of lights. That word Father, my friend, speaks of one who is the source and sustainer of all things. A father is one who actually comes with a mother in marriage, and they bring forth out of the intimacy of the relationship children. He's the source. So God is the source of all things. James does a very interesting thing. He says, God is a father of lights. Have you ever read this text and wondered just exactly what James is getting at? It seems to be so disconnected to what has been going on. But James wants us to know something. You see, when the Bible speaks of lights, it speaks of two kinds of lights. It speaks of the physical light that we see. And then it speaks of the character of God, which in metaphoric language talks about God's flawless perfection. So James tells us, first of all, he is the source of all things, and then he takes us to life itself. In the beginning, God created, and there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And God, through his own fiat, said, let there be light. Out of total darkness and chaos, God spoke, and light came. And the lesser light he called the nights, and the greater light he called the day, or the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. Now, we don't have a lot of time this morning, and forgive me for that phrase. But as I was doing some more research this past week, I went to Dr. Henry Morris, one of the foremost Christian scientists, or a scientist who is a Christian. And he speaks of light. And this is what he says. As we think of God's creation of light, when God said, let there be light, Dr. Morris says this, the significance of light as created is obvious that visible light is the primary meaning of when God said, let there be light. Visible light, that which could be seen. Since it was set in contrast to darkness which existed before the light came. At the same time, the presence of visible light, of light waves, necessarily involved the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Beyond the visible light waves are, on the one hand, ultraviolet light, and on the other hand, shortwave light radiation, and on the other hand, infrared light, and all the long wave phenomena. The electronic forces were activated by the word when he called light into existence out of darkness. In other words, my friends, he's saying that God, just not by thinking, not by having a game plan, not by thinking how he's going to deal with this, but because he's good, because he's wise, the darkness was there, and how that darkness came is not for you or for me to try to figure out. It's only that darkness sat upon the face of the earth, and God said, I want a contrast, let there be light. And there was light. And that light, my friends, contained everything we can think about that light requires, that light demands, that light does. I was thinking of that this past week. You remember the good old days when we had those Kodak cameras that you had to put down here so that you tell the person to get over somewhere? Wow. That times me, doesn't it? They're all in the Smithsonian right now. Think of it, friends. Think of that light coming into that dark little box. And without that light, we couldn't do what was done. Without it, we couldn't do what was done. And all the electromagnetic waves that passes through our whole system. The moon is given, my friends. So, in fact, please forgive me. Listen to the Blue Jays game last night. I had just one inning of it. I couldn't take any more of it. I was too busy. And Tom Cheek was asked, is there a full moon out tonight? Because the Blue Jays certainly are playing like there's one. All kinds of things were going wrong. But how can we relate that, my friend, if the moon is full? As a famous person I know likes to say, da 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 da. God has given that, my friends, so that the seasons might know its time. All we want to think about it, God has set in motion physical light so that everything that requires light is in the fear of God when he said, let there be light. You know what he said after that? And when God said, let there be light, he said, it is God. The goodness of God in giving us physical light to take care of everything we're doing today. But then there's another source of light. And my friends, it is this light of the character of God. In him is light and no darkness at all. It speaks of God's flawless character so that the spiritual life of the church comes from God. He is the Father of lights. Physical light for the physical life, spiritual life for the spiritual life. He is the source of it. Every act of holiness, every victory we possess are his and his alone. Only because God has set in motion what we have, my friends, whether it's physical or spiritual, do we have what we have in light. He is the Father of lights. I was listening to the radio and I thought, isn't it interesting? I listened to CFRB, and again, that ages me as well. And you know what they said in CFRB Wednesday morning? That the days are getting shorter. My word, they haven't been long for a long time. It's over. And this is what James is saying. Do you see how light fluctuates? Do you see how when you're standing at certain distance or direction or location that it can cast a shadow either to the south of you or to the east of you? And if you're standing at midday, 12 o'clock, there is hardly a shadow. James is saying this, dear friends. In life, there are variations. In life, there are shadows. There are the eclipse of the sun and the eclipse of the moon. But let me tell you, says James, there can never be an eclipse of the goodness of God. Nothing can affect the character of God so that he ceases to be God. So that he doesn't act like God anymore. There is no Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with God. God is. As he is. The same yesterday, I change not. God, my friends, never in his character, in his essence, he never changes. And that word variableness is literally this. God is not fickle. God doesn't say something today and mean something else tomorrow. God doesn't change his mind about things as many are changing their minds about things today. In other words, when bad things happen in the world, don't think that God has taken a vacation. When the pillow becomes the mop for the tears from your eyes, don't think that God doesn't know. When the pains are so severe that like Elijah you would prefer death than life, God knows it, my friends. He is good. Above what we know about him, he is good. He's the eternal God. And like I said before, never judge God by your experience or by nature, or you'll always come out wrong. God must be judged, my friends, from his revelation. God is God. Period. And when we live with that, when we face the issues of life, we will be able to say like the hymn writer, Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face because he knows what's going to be the end result. The pains, the disappointments, the tears, the frustrations, the things that happen to you and me in life that cause us sometimes to say, if I were God, my friends, if you were God, you would do precisely what God is doing. Can't do otherwise. Thank God he's not like us. Because if that were the case, I wouldn't be standing here and perhaps some of you wouldn't be sitting there. But God is good. And this is why, my friends, we can look at the providences of life. We can look at the circumstances of life. We can look at the things that happen to us that deeply affect perhaps even our future. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. All things. Not some things. Not most things. But everything. Everything. Well, let me hurry on. God is a benevolent God. But God is a bounteous God. God is a bounteous God. You know, sometimes, I don't know if I should say it. I'll be seeing her in a month. I've got to be careful. But my mother, bless her heart, she had a way of doing things. And I was not the best teenager. And you take that for whatever it's worth. My mother used the strap again and again and again and again ad infinitum. One of the things that was most interesting, I think I may have mentioned this before. If I did something that really affected my mother, I had to work my way through to get to the place where she would call me by my pet name. And when she would call me by my pet name, I knew that everything was okay. My friends, when we fail God, when we tell God how ugly we feel inside, and when we come to our senses and we confess that, you don't have to work your way through. He welcomes you back immediately. Remember the prodigal son? What did he ask for? He rehearsed what he was going to say out there. And then when he got home, his father only allowed him to go to a certain place. He said, I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. We feel that way sometimes, do we not? We fail God. We don't feel that we're worthy to be his sons or his daughters. Make me as one of your hired servants. The father didn't allow him to say that. Because you don't bargain with God's goodness. You enjoy it. You don't bargain God's goodness. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Let's look at the bounteousness of this then. Since we didn't have to work our way through, how can we be sure of this? James tells us in verse 18. In the exercise of his will, the King James has a little word there, a possessive word, of his own will. I like the word. Of his own will, he brought forth our new birth by the word of truth. James was talking to Jewish believers. And he concurs with Paul, who says the Jews were the first to believe the story of salvation. Even though the majority of them don't today, it came to them. James says, we are to be the first little picture of what it will yet be at the end of verse 18. Three things quickly about it. The bounteousness of this God who is the God of Christianity. First, look at his act of goodness. His act of goodness. Of his own will. God, my friends, never act because he has been counseled to act. God is never in a council with the Trinity or with the angels to say, now what are we going to do next? Of his own will, every act of God is self-caused. He acted of who he is. Never, my friends, by information given. By the way, when you go to pray, remember you don't inform God. You share your confidence in him. But I want you to see, my friends, how these acts quickly work. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 9. Romans 2 and 9. You will forgive me if I run ahead. Romans 2 and 9. I'm sorry, Romans 2 and 4. 2 and 4. Or do you not think, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and the forbearance and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to salvation? God is not willing that any should perish. So God forbears with the abortionist. God forbears with the murderer. God forbears with the drunken driver. God forbears with the adulterer, because God wants repentance out of that heart. And the reason he doesn't snap them out of the world that way, my friends, is because God is good. Because God is good. His goodness never overlooks the wrong in life. His goodness causes him to make way to pardon the wrongdoer. I said, when I was down in the other church, I said it one time and I could see the faces of people. I said, God never forgives sin. And oh my word, I could just see the eyes. Some of you are doing the same thing right now. God never forgives sins. That's true, friends. He doesn't. He forgives sinners. Someone has to pay the price, and Jesus paid it on the cross so that God could exercise his goodness to the wrongdoers of life, which includes you and me. The act of his goodness. But then we have another one. We have another one. This is one of my favorites. Philippians 1 and 6. You know it. The beginning work of God in our lives, my friend, is salvation. Listen to what it says. He who has begun what kind of a work? A good work. Salvation is a good work that God begins in us. And when will that work cease to be good? Never. And he will continue to show that goodness and until Jesus Christ comes, and then forevermore. He who has begun a good work, salvation is just that. But let me quickly go on to the avenue of the goodness of God. The avenue of the goodness of God. How does he show this? Through what I call, my friends, his mercy. His mercy. How did God show his act? Through his word. God, who is benevolent and bounteous, shows that his goodness brings us to salvation. And he has not only brought us to salvation, he has given us the means. His word, the word of truth. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus was on the cross? Everything had been completed except one. And they gave him vinegar to drink. And when they gave him, the scripture says, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And when they gave him vinegar, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, he said, it is finished. The word. My dear friends, we can trust this word. There are things in this word that's hard to understand. There are things in this word that sometimes trouble the mind. But I'm going to tell you, dear friends, what you and I need to know for life and eternity we find in this word. It's the word of truth. The word that which is spoken. Truth that which is real. And James says that God has shown how benevolent he is, not only by bringing light into the world, but speaking the word that brought light into our souls. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. God, who said, let there be light, has shined in our hearts that his light might shine in us. From start to finish, my friends, salvation is of God. The aim of his goodness, the aim of his goodness, James gives us that. That we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. One of these days, it will happen. Let me just apply that word with a scene I saw yesterday afternoon. Went to Stainer to pick up the two girls. And as we were coming back, we drove up Main Street, Unionville. And there was a wedding. And as the bridal party came through the line, everyone just had their eyes riveted on those two people. One of these days, dear friends, God is in the process of doing it right now. One of these days, God is going to put you and I on display. And all the angels in heaven, all the heavenly creatures that know absolutely nothing about salvation, they will look upon the bride of Christ. They will be riveting their eyes, as it were, upon you, upon me. Because while here on earth, we were a picture, a miniature picture of what God is going to do when he calls his people from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and he will bring the body of Christ to completion, and then we will not be pictures, we will be reality. We will not be symbols. We will be that, my friends, which is the true body of Christ. As it were now, every believer is a picture of all believers. That's a kind of a serious thought, isn't it? Every believer is a picture of all believers. Every church is a picture of the universal church, a first fruit. One of these days, my friends, God is going to complete the picture. And angels will behold you and behold me. And they will be amazed at what the word of truth has accomplished from the mouth of God. God is good, says Joseph Bailey. Therefore, he is worthy of our praise. Let us pray. Oh God, if we were to tell the truth, sometimes we wonder because of what has happened to us, what has happened to people we know. When we read the newspapers, we wonder, can God really be good? But God is good. And he's not yet finished with all that he will yet do. So help us, Father, as we walk our pilgrimage way here, that we will have one thing settled in our minds. God is good. His loving kindness endures forever. Amen.